Page 174. Read. The White Giraffe.
Sheer instinct warned Martine something was behind her. The same sixth sense told her to turn around very, very slowly. A Cape Cobra was coiled in the mud barely 6 feet away from her, hood spread wide, swaying in the yellow light. Martine recognized it immediately as one of the most poisonous snakes in Africa. Its golden coloring was unmistakable. So was the band around its throat. The cobra's lips parted and its black tongue flickered out evilly. Martine dropped her flashlight in panic. It rolled behind a boulder and dimmed to a faint glow. Then it went out. In the split second before she was plunged into darkness, Martine saw the cobra draw back its head to strike. Helplessly, she waited for its lethal bite. It never came. Instead, a pale blur exploded from the trees. There was a hideous hissing sound and the flash of flying hooves. The last thing Martine saw before she crumpled to the ground was the white giraffe. Martine suddenly came to and realized where she was. She had illicitly entered a South African game reserve in the middle of the night, and something was sniffing at her and possibly preparing to eat her. Cautiously, she opened one eye. A pair of liquid black eyes, framed by impossibly long lashes, stared down at her. "You saved my life," she said. The white giraffe drew back with a nervous snort. It gave a half rear, like a horse, and retreated to a safe distance. Martine climbed carefully to her feet. The white giraffe towered over her. The sky had cleared a little, and in the dim light of the watery moon, Martine could see it was an immensely beautiful creature. Its coat shimmered like sunlit snow, and it was patterned all over with patches of silver tinged with cinnamon. She reached out her hand to it, and it wheeled around and made as if to flee before sliding to a halt, breathing hard and shaking. The wildlife book in her room had explained that although giraffes are basically very gentle creatures, they are quite capable of using their long front legs to kick with force if they feel threatened. But something told Martine that this particular giraffe would never hurt her. She reached out her hand again and took a couple of steps toward it. "It's all right," she said soothingly. "It's all right. I only want to stroke you, not to harm you." This time, the giraffe stood still. When her fingers made contact with its skin, it quivered with fear, but didn't move away. Martine felt a tingle of electricity run up her arm. In that instant, she had a strange sense. She knew exactly what the animal was thinking. She knew, for example, without having any idea why, that his name was Jeremiah, Jemmy for short, and she knew that Jemmy was lonely, every bit as lonely as she was. "I'm alone too," Martine confided to the giraffe. 5 weeks ago, I lost everything I loved in a fire in England. Now I live with my grandmother who doesn't want me and go to a school where I don't fit in." The white giraffe watched her warily. He didn't respond. Instead, he sidled restlessly out of range so she could no longer touch him. Perhaps, thought Martine, he was waiting for a sign that he could trust her. And who could blame him? If she wanted to get close to him, the first thing she was going to have to do was to prove to him that she was a friend. But how? And then it came to her. In England, her mum and dad had had a poster in their bedroom of a dove being released into a sunset. On it was written, "If you love something, set it free. If it comes back to you, it's yours. If it doesn't, it never was." As miraculous as it was that she'd found the white giraffe, Martine knew she had to walk away from him. She took a last lingering look at him. Her heart ached as if she were losing a friend she'd only just made, but somehow she knew they'd meet again. For reasons she didn't fully understand, she felt as if their souls were already entwined. "Thank you for saving my life, Jeremiah," she said, adding hopefully, "See you soon."